Okay, welcome back. A lot of people are looking forward to this particular hour tonight. There's a great colleague coming back to help inform the world about who the real controllers are. And I want to mention one thing that is important. And there was a fellow named Klassen, Klassen. He put out a couple medical papers recently. And he did not mince words. And I'm surprised that these were even published. He mentioned that behind much of this is Ashkenazi Zionism and the Mossad. And he didn't play games. And that's the first medical paper I've seen with a political reality dynamic to it. It was very interesting. You know Brother Nathaniel. He is always speaking out about the true enemies of this planet and humankind. If you want an example, look what's happened to Ukraine. In the hands of international Bolshevik communist Zionists. And they're not going to give up their control. All Zelensky's henchmen, Zelensky, they're all the same. They're all tribe. And you all understand what's going on, I'm sure. You wouldn't be listening to this program. So with that, let's welcome back to Brother Nathaniel. Hello, and glad to have you
Hello.
Back on board.
Hello. Shalom.
Oh, yeah.
Shalom.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that the truth?
Well, why not? It means peace. And we're at peace now, you and I. So it's apropos. Shalom.
Very good. Yeah.
It's a good thing.
This whole situation has gotten to be so much worse since you were last on. What have you been doing in the interim about trying to stay even, at least, with the information that is being... In a lot of it's lies and deceit, as you well know, but I've never seen a more formidable deluge of content being dumped on people 25 hours a day from the real world, they think, of alt news. Alt news is very much penetrated and corrupted, and that's another hard lesson for those of us who have been working in it for a long time. So tell us what you've been up to.
Well, you know, getting, you know, to the news and... Some call it fake news. I just call it lying news. And I used to live near a fellow named Murray Rothstein.
Right.
In Boston. And he changed his name to Sumner Redstone. And he's the owner of CBS. He kicked a bucket a couple years ago, and Sherry Redstone took over. But it's really Sherry Rothstein. So that should tell your listeners something there, that often these people will hide their true reality, and that's a good example. Sumner Redstone, he was not a blue-blooded Yankee. We laughed at him. He was Murray Rothstein, and he had a fake name with lying news. Now, you get used to it. You really do. And you kind of have to laugh at it, or else you're going to get very angry. But I don't let it anger me. I just laugh at it and go to rents.com.
Well, very good.
To get the truthful news. That's what I do. I can handle it. I can deal with it.
Got it. Brother Nathaniel is also world-renowned for his videos that take no prisoners and speak right directly to the point. He's a kind of a one-man destruction and demolition crew when it comes to talking about issues that most people don't talk about. His new video is called Talking Hitler, Ben Shapiro, and Israel. Little Ben Shapiro. Now he's another strange one.
He ain't so strange. I got his number. He's a total fake. You know, with his little tiny hat, the yarmulke. That came lately. He was raised as a secular Jew. And then when he was a teenager, his parents decided they needed to become, it's called from. They needed a little meaning to their lives. Instead of believing in Jesus, they decided to keep kosher. But he didn't grow up that way. And then they sent him to a yeshiva, and that yeshiva was very modernistic, and he pretends to know the Bible. He does not. because he said that the Messiah is not even mentioned in or any mention of the Messiah in the Psalms. Well, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
We were told that, here's the Mashiach here, the Mashiach there. He's going to rule the planet and take over all the nations. So I got his number, and I did a refutation of him on my news site called Bible with Brother. I was able to get back on YouTube. And I did a refutation of him, and it's up to, I just did a couple months ago, it's already up to almost 50,000 views. And I refute him, and I just basically said, you don't know the Bible, so don't pretend to.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, he's into this thing about Israel being a democracy. It's not a democracy. This is a lie. First of all, we knew as kids, see, my dad was not a Zionist. I didn't grow up as a Zionist. I grew up as a Jew, very traditional
mm-hmm.
Jew,
mm-hmm.
but not
mm-hmm.
Zionist. See, this thing didn't really start big until the mid-60s when Israel needed money and weapons.
Well, so Brother Nathaniel, isn't that about the same time frame that they began to roll out the big Holocaust shakedown in the 60s?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I call it the victimization card, but it's the same thing, all a hoax. And somebody wrote on my comment section on Real Jew News, finally you've come to the truth about the Holocaust and Hitler. I said, no, I've been onto it long before you, man. I was onto it as a kid. Because what happened once, all of a sudden, Elie Wiesel comes on the Ed Sullivan Show. I'll never forget it. This must have been like around when I was 14 or 15, 1964. Okay, so Ed Sullivan, he introduces a Holocaust survivor. Well, we never even know what does this mean. We never heard this word. We didn't. In the 50s, it didn't exist.
That's fascinating. Mm-hmm.
Let me get to the Elie Wiesel thing. So he comes on, and he's doing a dramatization of agony in a concentration cell. And he's making all kind of contortions with his face and his body. It was weird. I still see it. And my dad, with the whole family there, because Ed Sullivan's show is a ritual for us, okay?
Sure.
My dad gets up and says he's a fraud. He turns the TV off. He waits 10 minutes and he turns it back on. I'll never forget it. It's still etched in my consciousness, this whole scene.
That's interesting.
Of the Elie Wiesel and my dad getting up, he's a fraud, turning off the TV and then waiting 10 minutes to turn it back on, you know, to see a circus act or something.
Yeah, yeah. Ed Sullivan was a... He started dating a Jewish woman, Sylvia Weinstein, in the late 1920s, something like that. And she actually had to tell her family that she was dating a man named Ed Solomon. But her brother figured it out that it was Ed Sullivan, a Catholic. So that was his beginnings with the Jewish experience.
Well, now he's on TV. He was a boxer, I think. And they got him on TV. You know, you could see he had a punched in nose from boxing. And somehow they got him on TV. So if you're on TV, you're dealing with Jews all over the place.
Well, he grew up in the, what's it say? Let me find it here. Hold on. There it is. He grew up in an Irish and Jewish section of Harlem in New York City. Ed Sullivan's Irish roots. And he eventually became a writer, I guess a journalist, and then they plunked him in TV, and there he was for I don't know how many years he was on, 20 years or something, a long time.
Well, I guess he wasn't a boxer. I don't know where I got that. Okay.
I don't think so. But he did marry Sylvia Weinstein.
He married
Sylvia, and that was it.
Anyways, you know, we got to the point, we called him the Holocaust poster boy.
So they really used that platform to launch a lot of this. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we called him the Holocaust poster boy. Because in the 50s when I grew up, we never heard of gas chambers. We never heard concentration camps. We heard work camps for political prisoners. And most of the political prisoners were communists and, understandably, Jews. So that's the ones they put in. But there is no doubt about it that Adolf Hitler did not want any extermination of Jews. Himmler did, but Hitler was in charge, and he signed an order. And the one who really uncovered this from the archives is David Irving. Boy, I wish you could get him on your show.
I contacted David, and he wrote, we exchanged emails. I think I talked to him on the phone once. Yeah, he was here on a trip, a car trip around the U.S. making speeches, and I tried, but he didn't want to do it for reasons that at that time made sense. It wasn't the program. It was just he didn't want that kind of exposure. He was trying to keep a relatively low profile and just do speaking engagements.
Okay. But he's the one that uncovered it on microfilm in some archive somewhere, maybe mm-hmm. in probably Great Britain in the archives. It's an actual order Hitler gave. I think it was November 30th, 1941. There is to be no liquidation of Jews, period. Well, I recently talked to a fellow who works for Germans, and he said the Germans are workaholics. And he said to me, they don't put people to death. They're very efficient people, and they're not going to put anyone to death. They're going to put them to work. And he told me he's no longer working for the Germans, but he said he had to work 80 hours. I said, did they pay you? No, this was expected. He signed up for a 40-hour salary, and it was expected. You're going to work overtime without pay. That's the Germans. Mm-hmm. He worked for a German company.
Mm-hmm.
So that just reaffirms what I always said. The Germans put people to work, not to death. And
look, Auschwitz was the number two synthetic, I think it was synthetic oils they were producing there. It was a major manufacturing center for the war effort. Crucial that they had labor. And that's why in his book Night, Elie Wiesel bitched and moaned about the fact that they had to take 3 showers a day. He hated it. They were trying to keep these people healthy and well-fed as much as they could, considering Germany had been mass-bombed since 1942 onward. The Germans were starving. Anyway, there's so much deception
well,
in this
whole thing.
Well,
he must have got this. He had to sound like he was in the camps. He was not.
There was a guy in the camps. Remember this? You remember this. There was a guy at Auschwitz, and he said, I knew Elie Wiesel, and it ain't that guy. That is not the Elie Wiesel I knew in the camp.
That was one of my first articles I did years ago mm-hmm. on my Real Jew News, the Holocaust denial debate. So when this guy says, oh, finally, you're on to the Holocaust, brother. I said, no, I've been on it long before you, man. So I brought up his name and everything he said, that Elie Wiesel now, he was never in the camps. And he proves it. He says this picture is not this Elie Wiesel that they keep on showing, and him in the bunk bed. There's no tattoo. He was never in the camp. He just decided he's going to pretend he's in the camp as a rhetorical. I don't know how you call that in literature. A rhetorical device. He was a rhetorical device.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad saw it, and then God tried to warn him that to stop the fraud. So what happened to Ellie? He's walking across Park Avenue in the Upper East Side. He's not looking, gets hit by a car. He's in a hospital for 2 months. But that didn't stop him. Then he has a stroke and he can hardly talk. That didn't stop him. Then he got hit by the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scam. That didn't mm-hmm. stop him. Mm-hmm. And then he dies. As a fraud, this is a terrible thing. As a fake, getting awards and all the goyim are, saying how great he is. And I just saw somebody giving him an honorarium, and he was very approachable, and people just love to go near him. I said, you've got to be kidding. To go near him is to be in weeping and mourning and think of Jewish corpses. No one wanted anything to do with the man. And he always had a perpetual frown because he had to play the act that this is a horrible thing that happened so long ago, but he just was still in mourning. That's his shtick. What a horrible experience as a human being. And I don't feel sorry for him.
Understand. Isn't it true, Brother Nathaniel, that Holocaust survivors... Now would be about 100. They'd be about 100 years of age, but there's still a hell of a lot of them out there. In fact, didn't they confer survival status to the offspring of alleged Holocaust survivors? Am I remembering right?
You are remembering absolutely right. I mean, uh-huh. You talk to every Jew. You know, they had a grandmother that was a Holocaust survivor. You know, well, come on. How old are you? 24. Your grandmother wasn't living then. So this is just another hoax, you know.
Well, it's a damn good
I'm
one.
How much have they
scammed off this one? Maybe $1 trillion? I don't know. They're still paying. Germany's still paying, I think. People are paying
all the
time.
Well, if anyone should have been a Holocaust survivor, it would have been my grandmother, Grandma Lena. And she was from Austria.
Uh-huh.
So she should have been a Holocaust survivor, but she came here, I think, in 1942. All right, unscathed. Nothing happened to her. She wasn't in a camp or anything. She wasn't a communist. Hitler didn't put her in a camp. She was an accomplished pianist. Maybe because she was a professional pianist, you know, she was immune. But she never talked about it either.
We talk about the amount of money that the Holocaust has generated for the state of Israel and all those who are in the money chain who can help themselves, of course. It's just what people do. Look at Zelensky, how much he has copped off the money stream from the U.S. and NATO. And
Britain. Oh, yeah.
They're billionaires, all of them. In 1999, the government signed a memo of understanding through which it committed to Israel to providing the state of Israel with at least $2.67 billion in military aid annually. That was for the following 10 years. In 2009, that amount was raised to $3 billion a year. And in 2019, the amount was raised again, now standing at... an even larger amount, which is not in this particular story.
All right, what do your listeners wrote to me?
It's $3.8 billion a year. We give Israel $3.8 billion a year for alleged defense.
Well, we could use it for our bridges that are collapsing.
They got to give it to Ukraine for the war effort. What a joke. $150 billion to Ukraine, by my count, minimum. And we got Americans on the streets.
All right, here's one of your listeners just wrote to me. Brother, the kickoff was in 1960 with the Exodus movie.
Oh, that's right.
This was the big kickoff for the Holocaust and Israel agenda. Yeah, well, your listener is right. That was the kickoff, and they got Pat Boone to sing the song. Okay, they got a good-looking, you know, goy.
Yeah.
That everyone liked, you know, it was very appealing, you know. Whoa, Pat Boone is singing, "This land is mine." Oh, it must be true. God gave this land to me, sang Pat Boone. Yeah, God must have given that land to them. But you ask most of these Jews, they don't even believe in God.
Yes.
So thank God I escaped the Zionism because my dad was not a Zionist.
It wasn't always Israel. There were other targeted homeland locations that the Jewish people were looking at. And one of them, believe it or not, now I don't know if I can find this article now. There were several about it. One of them was a large tract of land in Texas. It's a true story. I read it. There was a place in Texas... Yeah, go ahead.
All right, your fans are listening. Here's another one I just got from one of your listeners. Brother, I'm 71, I'm a goy, okay, in quotes, all right? The Jewish kids and families that I grew up with in the 50s and 60s in California were not Zionists and mostly disapproved of the state of Israel. So that just shows you that the lobby really had to kick in, you know, to get this Holocaust thing going and this Israel thing going, the great democracy going.
And well, they knew how to do it.
With movies, they had to do it with fake books and a fake poster boy.
What are you going to do if you want to take over a nation state, a country? First, you do whatever you can to take control of the money. Then you control the media. And what follows in line naturally is control of politicians. They're all bribed and bought off or compromised via Epstein-like tactics. Simple. It's not a problem. You own it then. Reality is the movies. Reality is on the screen. Remember that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to
find this. Yeah, I'm getting tons of emails. I can't keep up with them now. Okay, that's cool.
Well, we're going to take a break here and come back and play Brother Nathaniel's newest video. Here, one was called In 1820, in a precursor to modern Zionism, Mordecai Noah tried to found a Jewish homeland at Grand Island in the on the Niagara River to be called Ararat, after Mount Ararat. Huh? So there was one up there in near Niagara Falls. Then there was the British Uganda program. There was a homeland proposed for Russia to be part of the USSR. Oh, this is finally somebody wrote about this. Another Jewish state was proposed to have the name of the FUGU, Fugu. Well, Fugu to you too. And then there was the Madagascar plan, which most people have heard about. That's what the Germans wanted. They wanted to give the entire huge island of Madagascar to the Jewish people for their homeland. But Germany lost control of the seas, and they couldn't ship all the Jews over there. That was the plan. They didn't want to kill them. They wanted them out of Europe. All right, hold on a minute. Take a break. Come right back with Brother Nathaniel. It's just rare that we find people who will stand up and do what Gerald is doing. You don't get invited to things like he gets invited to. His respect level is through the roof. Understand that. And what he stands upon is his work and his integrity, and it's all there in the Trends Journal. It is the most remarkable news magazine I've ever seen. No commercials in it, just knowledge and reality and truth. It's all there. So let's support him. What you get for your money? You go to a movie, what do you get? An hour and a half and it's gone. The Trends Journal will sit in your home and wait for you until the cows come home. It's there for you. Anyway, I hope you do it. Go to trendsjournal.com. That's trendsjournal.com.
Scientists in England have succeeded in stabilizing the time-honored substance in garlic that destroys harmful bacteria, viruses, molds, yeast, and fungus. This all-natural microbe killer is called Allicin C, and it's now available to you in 100% vegetarian capsules only on the New Earth page at Rents.com. This powerful broad-spectrum antimicrobial agent is harmless to friendly bacteria and has been concentrated to equal an astonishing 35 cloves of garlic in each vegetarian capsule. Think about it. The antibacterial, antiviral strength of 35 odorless cloves of garlic in just one capsule. Allicin C is so effective it even destroys superbug MRSA in test after test. Allicin C is truly an incredible advance in natural medicine, and with the threats of bacterial and viral diseases and pandemics growing, no home should be without it. Learn more and order Allicin C on the New Earth page at Rents.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy, and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rinse.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rinse.com.
Whether you're at the office, walking down the street, in the car, going shopping, in a restaurant, a hospital, church, school, or even a graveyard, or just relaxing at home and trying to get a good night's sleep, you are being exposed to nonstop electromagnetic ionizing radiation. Whether it's from 5G, 4G, or soon 6G, or the microwave oven in the kitchen, or that dangerous smart meter hanging just on the other side of your wall, you are getting hit with potentially deadly radiation. How can we stop it? Well, other than living in a Faraday cage, there's really very little that can be done. In spite of endless claims from all sorts of devices for sale online, only a very few have ever been proven to work. That dilemma has all changed now with the Protect Pro line of products. Their Wi-Fi and radiation harmonizing products are second to none and are the first major scientific advance in personal protection from all forms of ionizing radiation. That's all forms. These attractive and simple Protect Pro discs come in several convenient sizes that begin to protect you immediately. Visit protectpro.net now and be safe. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Brother Nathaniel, who is back after a long sabbatical.
I'm having a great time. I'm getting tons of emails from your listeners.
Good. Well, I remember in the very beginning, and this is a wonderful thing to see. You've developed such a following out there, and people really look to you for leadership. That's good. There was another. There's so much of this thing. It's fascinating. Jewish self-governing territories. It's an old theme. It's throughout history. The Jews have been looking for a homeland. The Fugu Plan, as I mentioned earlier, was one that had to do with relocating all of Europe's Jews in Japan territorial acquisitions. I'm not saying which ones, but there definitely was an effort made to find a place for them. Then the Madagascar Plan. If you haven't ever heard them, this was the most interesting to me. The Madagascar Plan was a suggested policy, of the Third Reich government in Germany to forcibly relocate the Jewish population of Europe to the island of Madagascar, which is a huge, fabulously rich environment of all kinds of natural resources and everything. The evacuation of European Jewry to the island of Madagascar was not a new concept. Henry Hamilton Beamish, Arnold Leese, Lloyd Moyne, etc., and Polish governments had all contemplated the idea before. Germany seized upon it in May of 1940 in his Reflections of the Treatment of the Peoples of Alien Races in the East. Heinrich Himmler declared, "I hope that the concept of Jews will be completely..." he wanted to move them to Africa or Madagascar. Madagascar is an island, by the way, off the eastern coast of Africa. And if you've ever looked at it, it's kind of a third world pit now. But imagine what the Jews, with their creativity and ingenuity, would have done with that island. So it wasn't always Palestine. Just keep that in mind. There was Italians offered land in East Africa for a Jewish homeland. So it's quite an interesting story. You can look it
up. The Jews didn't want it. They wanted Israel. You know, we used to, at our Pesach, it's the Passover Seder. We always would say next year in Jerusalem.
Right.
But as traditional Jews, it would only be Mashiach, Messiah. The Messiah the Jews are waiting for, the Antichrist. But they believed in a legitimate Messiah, that it would be the Messiah that would lead us back, and it would not be a secular project. So now you have the Nutara Karta, and I know Rabbi David Weiss. He knows me.
He's been on the program. He's been on the program a couple times over the year, a long time.
Okay, well, their contention is, well, no, this is a secular state, and Mashiach, it has to be the Messiah leading us back to a fully religious state, which would be a theocracy. But they're not the only ones that are anti-Zionists. They're a very small group, and they're very public. You know, and they wear Palestinian, you know, garb to prove their point. But there are Jews that are anti-Zionist, but they're not as predominant as they used to be when I grew up. Because you're almost ready to be, you know, to be hanged. You know, or given the electric chair after you say that you're anti-Zionist and a Jew. There are very few today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's almost criminal to say it. But my dad would say it. He didn't care.
Yeah. Well, Weiss and the others are brave. They're brave.
Yeah.
It took courage. I agree. Yeah.
When I grew up, there was no courage involved. You just said, we're Americans. That's what my dad said. And mm-hmm. we're not moving to Israel. And my dad used to say, well, all these Zionists, well, go, leave. Go to Israel then. But they didn't want to go. They like their lox and bagels here, you know. In their good lives, in their gated communities, they're not going to go to Israel. And you look at the Israelis; they want to get there. They always want to get out. They're traveling all over the place. You take Bibzi; he's constantly going somewhere. They can't stand being locked up, you know, surrounded by millions and millions of Arabs. So my dad, you say, you know, you have a small group of Jews plopping themselves down in the middle of the Arab world. What hope do they really have? Well, they better get some nukes, and they did. they got
sure
nukes.
Did. Yeah, Kennedy tried to stop it. We all know the story about that. Ben-Gurion wouldn't
hear about it. But you have this RFK Jr. Everyone's on to him. Well, he said something recently about this guy in the rock group who was against Zionism, and he gave him a check mark, and they were all over him, and he recanted, and he started going around with some rabbi.
He's groveling. He's traveling around with a rabbi. It's a very strange character, I understand, the rabbi he's traveling with.
Yeah, I saved it. I have the clip of it. I just forget this guy's name. Mm-hmm. He used to be friends with this guy that supported Trump, Adelson. He was buddies with Adelson.
Sheldon Adelson.
You know,
Shelley Adelson.
Sheldon Adelson, yeah. The Adelson primary. You remember that one?
Sure.
Where all the going used to go and, you know, kiss his, you know.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah.
Let's play this video before we lose our getting late already. I don't know if my webmaster is on vacation. He's trying to do things from a different country, and it's been kind of a mess. But is it in the banner at the bottom right above headline news? Did he put it in there?
Yeah, it's in the banner.
All right, look right above.
Headline news, it's about the
I'm lucky to get the news posted. So here, keep in mind, always you can look right above headline news. Brother Nathaniel's banner is back. It's right there in the center on rents.com. Just you'll see it. You can click on the link right there. It'll take you to Real Jew News and the link there. The new video is called Talking Hitler, Shapiro, and Israel. All right, and if you see it on the page at Real Jew News, you click on the title, which is in red, and that will take you directly to the video. Okay?
Yeah, and everybody keep your eye on that banner because I do a new video every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep it going.
Okay. So I think a lot of people are trying to load it right now. I can't get it to load. There it is. Okay, it came up. All right, so here we go. Ben Shapiro. Anything you want to add before we play it?
Just play Ben it. Shapiro?
Yeah.
No, I can't stand him. A little shrimp with a squeaky, you know, voice. Ugh.
How do you come up with a voice like that guy has?
I feel I have to expose him. So I decided I'm going to put him next to Hitler.
All right. Well, it's right there. Here we go.
It wasn't all that bad, really.
Well, you know what JFK said about him, right?
But I say right away, you know, you give a dog a bad name and hang him. It's pretty tough to retrieve that kind of propaganda.
Here's the video.
I've often wondered about Adolf Hitler, but never out loud.
Hello?
When you give a dog a bad name and hang him, no snowball in hell can refreeze the Jewish spiel. If history is true, not to suit the Jews, then surely Hitler ordered on November 30, 1941, there was to be no liquidation of the Jews. In other words, no Holocaust. I grew up as a Jew in the 50s, and there was never any mention of gas chambers, 6 million, or Holocaust. It was never heard. All we heard was work camps. These were political prisoners, understandably, mostly communist Jews. Ask anyone who works for Germans. They put people to work, not to death. They're too efficient for that. And you work overtime with no extra pay. It wasn't until the mid-60s when the secular state of Israel got American Jews to churn out the victimization card. This to garner money, weapons, and political support for their rogue state of Israel. Elie Wiesel, hoax poster boy.
Elie was in many respects a great man. But what made him so approachable is that in some respects he was just a very ordinary man. But a very ordinary man who had been tempered in a dreadful furnace of experience.
Au contraire, there's the tattoo. I mean, come on. The most efficient people in the world, the Germans, tattooed each and every single one of those 6 million just to kill them. You just kill them. You don't tattoo them. No tiki, no laundry, no tattoo, no Holocaust bugaboo. Then Wiesel came on Ed Sullivan in the mid-60s, and my dad got up and said, he's a fraud, and turned the TV off. My dad said it out loud. But me, when it comes to Adolf, I just talk to myself. Why don't Jews give Hitler a shout of praise? If it wasn't for Hitler, there would be no state of Israel, no nukes for their military dictatorship, no depleting of Jew-America's treasury, and certainly no worldwide blindness to their crimes. No Ben Shapiro either doing his democracy shtick.
Israel is an ace. It's a tiny outpost of freedom and democracy and virtue in a region filled with tyranny and horror.
I beg your pardon. Israel never promised the world a rose garden, but a patch of toxic weeds. The tyranny and horror is from these. Israel poisoning Palestinian wells, stealing Palestinian orange groves, and ethnic cleansing murder, which continues today in occupied Palestinian territory. Please don't quote Moses, you Israelis. You break the Ten Commandments every time you sneeze. And aren't we sick of this Israeli democracy sleaze?
I were looking at footage of Netanyahu speaking before Congress when he got 29 standing ovations. All right, here we go.
And yeah, there are true democracies, Lebanon.
Say again.
Elie Wiesel was in the audience next to his wife, Little Piggy. Piggy, with that sour look of his, mourning all the Jewish corpses.
Okay. All right, hold on.
It's a constitutional democratic republic. Egypt is a constitutional democratic republic. Syria is a constitutional democratic republic. They all have identifiable written constitutions ratified by their respective peoples, outlining the three branches of government and itemizing the civil rights of citizens. Israel is not a constitutional democracy. It has no written constitution ratified by the people, only a basic law cobbled together in 1948. Do the Palestinians have clearly articulated rights and freedom in the tyrannical, horror, Jewish state of Israel? No. And I ain't just talking to myself.
Yeah, this democracy crap. My dad told us a long time ago that Israel's a military dictatorship.
Now your dad was...
Well, we weren't sure of it. We were just kids, but...
Yeah. Now, that's what a father should do, is to present truth to the kids, and he did, obviously. Was he under pressure by the Jewish community to change his tune?
My dad was a professional weightlifter. He trained Bruno Sammartino. You didn't mess with my dad. And he would go to synagogue, and he would tell people he can't stand the rabbi because he gives a limp handshake. He shakes hands like a woman. You didn't mess with my dad. I didn't mess with him either. So we had this one guy at synagogue. I'll never forget it. We called him a gonif. I didn't. Everyone called him a gonif, which means a con man. But he was in everything. Whatever it was to make money, he was into it, this fella, okay? Mm-hmm. His last name was Kravitz. I just know Stanley Kravitz. Okay. So my dad says he's better than the rabbi because he looks you straight in the eye and he shakes your hand like a man. The rabbi can't even look at you and he shakes your hand real limp. And my dad would say this to people at synagogue.
What a character.
So, you know, one thing that I always remember about synagogue is that we would have B'nai B'rith meetings. Uh-huh. After Shabbat school and the Sabbath service. And my dad would take me. And all I would hear is all about politics. Which one will be good for the Jews? Whether he was a governor, whether he was a mayor, whether he was a senator, a state governor, it didn't matter. Whatever the politician was, who should we put our money behind because he's going to be good for the Jews? It wasn't who's going to be good for America, who's going to be good for the city, who's going to be good for the state, who's going to be good for the Jews. I would hear this constantly. So this is what I was drilled into as a Jewish kid, and I finally decided when I started my website, Real Judaism, I'm going to expose them. From all I know, growing up Jewish, I said, I'm going to expose them because I'm sick of the lies. And one of the lies is the Hola hoax.
I remember reading a great deal about that.
Finally, you come around to understanding this, brother. I says, no, mm-hmm. I've known about this long before, even before you were born.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, burn me up.
I read a lot about it in college and after. Of course, years before that was the Exodus movie. And then Ed Sullivan. That's very interesting. They're really brilliant at what they do. They're not stupid. They know how to handle it, how to deceive and dupe the goyim. They always have. Old stuff. Here's what John Kennedy said about Adolf Hitler. I don't know if you have this quote or not. I think I sent it to you, but
yeah, you sent it to me last week.
Yeah, he said it. For those of you who haven't heard it, Kennedy went to tour Germany after it was crushed and defeated in the war. This was about 1946. He went there, I believe. He was 28 years old. He predicted, and this is a quote: Adolf Hitler will emerge from the hatred that surrounds him now as one of the most significant figures who ever lived. He had in him the stuff of which legends are made. John F. Kennedy. He saw the truth, but he knew. He kept his mouth shut. He never spoke about it, but this was in his own diary. So there you
go. I've always been fascinated by Hitler. I've read all the books by him. I got tons of books on Hitler. And one of the best mm-hmm. books I have is quotes by Hitler on the Jewish question. The man is unmistakably brilliant, absolutely brilliant, incisive understanding of history, culture, economics, the whole gamut of society's life. He understood it concisely, brilliantly, and profoundly. A brilliant man. Oh, but the Jews have to tar him, like they do with Putin. Putin is probably the greatest strategist living today. Probably the greatest statesman of all time. He is so cool. I mean, he doesn't do knee-jerk reactions. He keeps his cool, and he doesn't get mad. He gets even, and more so. You know that saying?
Right. Don't get mad. Get even. That's right.
Yeah, but he gets more than that. He gets the edge. I mean, he's got the edge in Ukraine. And Ukraine is a failed state. And I'm sure you know, maybe some of your listeners don't know, we pay the salaries of every government official in Kiev.
Mm-hmm.
We are actually
sure.
paying their salaries. We have been for a year. So whatever tax money or inflation is going on, well, it's being eaten up by these government officials in Ukraine. It's not just Zelensky. They're all on salary. Disgusting. But this is Noodleman. Noodleman runs the State Department. Blinken doesn't. Noodleman runs it. Her and the Yukon contingent. They run the State Department with Noodleman at the head. And she's a vicious bitch. Just a vicious bitch. She's mean. She's nasty. She's rotten. But she runs the show. Well, why not?
Right. If you know here, I'm going to duck this in.
She's got the entire Jewish cabal behind her. And no one's going to say otherwise to get
no,
rid of her. Oh,
not going to happen. No. She's the real dragon lady, that one. Here, let's do this.
Oh.
I want to get this in real quick. Virtually every film on video of Adolf Hitler speaking presents somebody who sounds like Mad Mickey Mouse, an insane lunatic on amphetamines, waving his arms and railing and ranting, and his voice is completely bizarre, very high-pitched. His real speaking voice, there's only one recording of it that was ever successfully made. And if you want to hear the real speaking voice of Adolf Hitler, here it is.
Eine sehr große Gefahr, vielleicht die schwerste. Wir haben dann zu unternehmen, ob das jetzt verbessern können. Wir wussten das selber auch nicht so ganz genau, wie ungeheuerlich diese Strafe müsste.
Ja, das hätten wir nicht geahnt im Winterkrieg. Im Winterkrieg hätten wir das nicht geahnt, natürlich.
Hey, that's another guy. Hitler is talking with a fellow named Mannheim.
Hatten wir den Eindruck, dass sie gut. Und jetzt ist ihm gar kein Zweifel, was sie
Menschen denken.
Hey, this is Hitler. This is his real speaking voice.
Wenn mir jemand gesagt hätte, dass ein Staat mit Wenn mir jemand gesagt hätte, dass ein Staat mit 35.000 Punks antreten kann, dann hätte ich gesagt, sie sind Wahnsinn. 35.000 Panzer. Wir haben zurzeit über 34.000 Panzer vernichtet. Wenn mir das jemand gesagt hätte, wenn mir ein General von mir erklärt hätte, dass hier ein Staat 35.000 Panzer in dieser Ziegel hat, sie sehen alles doppelt oder zehnfach.
Okay, that's what he sounded like, not like a screaming, mad Walt Disney character.
You sent me that.
He had a very nice speaking voice. What he was talking there was about the Soviet Union and its massive ability to produce war material and goods. He said to Mannheim, "We have destroyed, right now, already more than 34,000 tanks." If someone had told me that, I'd have said, you, and if you are only one of my generals who stated that any nation has 35,000 tanks, I'd have said, you, my good sir, you see everything twice or 10 times. You're crazy. You're seeing ghosts. It can't be. But he was up against an endless stream of men and materiel. And that's what he's talking about here. But that's the real voice.
All right, I want to give you a voice of Theodor Herzl, the one of your listeners just sent to me. I didn't even know this.
We have only a few seconds. So because
it'll be two
computer.
Seconds. He says one component of anti-Semitism is legitimate self-defense, where Jews settle themselves. That's a great quote.
Got it. Okay, very good. All right, we've got to run before the computer says goodnight and turns us off. So thank you again for the new video. We'll talk to you. We're going to have you on regularly. So once you have a new video ready, let me know. We'll put it up.
All right, good.
All right.
Enjoy
good
it.
Night. Good night. It was fun.
Good night.
Okay. Brother Nathaniel. All right. That's it for Wednesday. Be right back in 21 hours with another 3 hours for you tomorrow. Take care. Prepare. And beware. Shedding is real.